Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will read and discuss our Gospel from St. Mark. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Quality Catholic books, religious gifts, framed art, and so much more are available at the OLCC Bookstore on the grounds of Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center, 1200 Lantana. You know where it is, near the intersection of Interstate 37 and North Padre Allen Drive, where you see the church with the blue dome. Just drive onto the property and follow the signs that lead you to religious books, statuary, rosaries, religious articles, framed art, crucifixes, and more. The phone number is 361-289-0807.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Very well, Barbara. And yourself?
I'm doing well. Thank
good.
You.
Good. Thank you. Finishing up October today.
I know. It seems like the year was going so slow, and now all of a sudden it speeds up when we get to this time of the year.
Right.
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, as I mentioned in our opening, our gospel this morning is from St. Mark. So if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You are right in saying, 'He is the one, and there is no other than He,' and to love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in some of the previous Gospels we've had over the past couple weeks, you know, some of the religious authorities opposed and they challenged Jesus when he was teaching. But in this Gospel, the scribe is really intrigued by the answer that Jesus gave him.
You fell right into my plan, Barbara. That's exactly right. I mean, there are many times, and of course, sometimes we take a group and classify them as one. But this scribe obviously was somebody who was intrigued, someone who had heard Jesus speaking and wanted to not trap him, as sometimes happens with other groups, but wanted to really know what sincerely probably. You know, you hear speeches, and sometimes you want to take that person aside and just tell me a little bit more about what you said. So obviously he had heard Jesus speak. But in this case, he wanted to really go a little bit further. So asking which is the first of all the commandments. And Jesus responded to the scribe, of course, with the greatest commandment, that you shall love the Lord your God above all things, with your heart, mind, soul, and strength. What's intriguing to me also is that he added the second, which the scribe, at least as far as we know, didn't ask for. The second is this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Almost as if, and he is actually relating it to the first. I believe it's in the letter, one of the letters of St. John. It says, "How can you say you love God and turn your back on your neighbor?" So this was Jesus's understanding that To say that we love God means that we also turn toward our neighbor. And that's because God is love, and he cannot not love. And he loves all that he created, and he created all of us. Mm-hmm. And so the neighbor is the object of one's love, too. Mm-hmm. First of all, to love God above all things, but then you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there's no greater commandment than these, he says, because the scribe asked for the commandment, and Jesus says there's no other greater commandment than these. These two go together. Jesus was intrigued by him. So he was obviously intrigued by Jesus and what he had been saying. These encounters with the scribes or with a Pharisee or with a person who was a sinner, all these encounters that Jesus has don't just happen. They are there. And so at this point, Jesus takes another step and says that Jesus was intrigued with him by the way that he understood what Jesus was saying. And so he said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And then I think that's important for us, because what Jesus is declaring there is that the kingdom of God is reached or attained through this commandment of love, that the commandment of love of God and love of neighbor. And love is not easy. Right. I think people hear the word love and it's just some kind of mushy, mushy guru think, no, it's very difficult because it involves my will. As we see here, it involves my mind, it involves my strength, my will, my heart. So all of this is involved in loving another person and in loving God. Mm-hmm. For example, we may want to do something else. But to love God may mean to follow his will in something. But I think the one of the crunches is to love with my mind. And I think this today in 2021 is the crunch, because we all have our minds made up about something. Our minds become so petrified in a certain way with ideas. We convince ourselves about certain things, and it's hard to meet somebody who thinks different than I am.
And listen to them.
Listen to them. We're going to speak about synodality in the second portion. But to be able to listen, and with patience, to listen with patience. Sometimes we can be kind and listen to someone, but we sure wish they'd hurry that story up and get over with it. So we're really not listening.
Right. True.
So this idea of loving God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength involves the whole person. And that's why love is not an easy task. It involves the whole person. It involves me. It's not about doing something. I was listening on the way over here to a brief meditation, and we talk about doing acts of love, but we don't talk about being love. And this is the great challenge to us as disciples of Jesus. We're baptized into him. And so if he is love, then we need to become love too. We need to love. So it's one thing to go and do an act of love for someone. It's different to do the same act, but being love. God doesn't do acts of love. God is love. And everything that God does, his creation, his redemption for us, is part and parcel of love, being love for us. And so I think training ourselves in this great commandment, which has two sides, God and neighbor, is to train ourselves to discover true freedom. And that is, if we're a servant of or a slave to acts of love, there's going to be time we really just don't want to do them. Mm-hmm. And we enslave ourselves by our anger and our whatever else, we don't want to do it. But if we understood that we're called to be love, and that's a lifelong journey. I mean, I'm not talking
right.
that it's something simple, but to recognize that being love means being as God, and the scriptures speak of being transformed with time, that we are being love, we're being God's love for them. And this is the freeing dimension of what love really is. If I do an act of love and I'm mad at the end of it, it may have been an act of love for the person, but it was not an act of love coming from me.
And you came away and probably checked off the box and said, well, I did it.
It could be, and that's following the law.
Right.
You know, I did it because I had to do it.
Right.
But in the book of Romans, Paul always speaks of following the law or following the Spirit, and the Spirit is love. And this is something that can really transform our lives, can free us from so many things. And this is what Jesus is speaking about in offering to the scribe the greatest act, the greatest commandment.
You know, what comes to mind to me, a word that comes to mind is unconditional love. You know, and you hear that a lot. You love them despite anything they've done to you.
Yeah.
Love people despite whether you agree with them or not. Unconditional love.
Sure.
And it's hard.
Yes, it is. But I also think, you know, I don't want to demean anybody's acts of kindness or acts of service. I mean, people do benefit from it, and it does show. But I'm talking about the giver, mm-hmm. how we do it, with what intention we do it. I mean, even in a parent, you know, we all have to examine ourselves. You know, sometimes I don't want to get out of bed in the morning and go do what I have to do. But it's a gradual conversion that I'm not doing it for any kind of praise or any kind of trophy or anything. I'm doing it because I've been called, and I'm not talking about me personally, but all of us are called to be love for God, because only love knows love.
Right.
And for love of our neighbor. And that is what really matures us in being a true disciple of Jesus, a true Christian.
Mm-hmm. So I think it's something that we can always reflect on and think about. I like your point about be love, not act love, be love.
Mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
know, and it's something in our morning prayers we can ask God to help us do this.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, and that involves what I'm pointing out there is, it involves my will, my strength, my mind to let go of all the things that would impede me from just being who I am, with no other motives for doing something other than being love for another person, being God for another person, being God's love for another person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we...
And this is the kingdom of God.
Right, that's I was just about to say that. This was so we would do this and hope that God would say to us, you are not far from the kingdom of God.
Right, right.
We're doing what he wants us to do.
Sure. You have to imagine what is the kingdom of God in heaven.
Right.
Well, it's not what we see so much here on earth, but it's our effort here to put this commandment at the forefront. This double-sided commandment at the forefront, because this is the kingdom of God. We experience the kingdom of God when love in its purity this way is realized, and we sense it, we know it, that it's there.
Mm-hmm. How nice if all of us did this, Bishop.
Well,
what
we're all called
world.
To it, yeah. It'd be a mm-hmm. different world, absolutely be a different world, yeah. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't be fighting.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the synod. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
The gift shop at Most Precious Blood Church, 3502 Saratoga, is stocked with a variety of religious items for every occasion. You'll find Bibles, baptism, and wedding items, framed religious art, religious DVDs for the whole family, rosaries, crosses, statues, prayer booklets, prayer cards, and more. Store hours are Thursday through Saturday from 10 till 5, and Sundays a half hour before and after each Mass. A portion of the proceeds benefits Most Precious Blood School.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop Pope Francis has called for a synod on synodality, and I've read about it, But I'm very confused. So could you clear up all the mysteries?
That means you're a part of humanity. So many people, bishops, cardinals, priests,
you all are
laity,
confused too?
Well, in a sense. I mean, it's something we need to take time to absorb.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me try in the next 15 minutes or 12 minutes that we have, let me just try to explain a little bit what I have. First of all, just as you said, the Pope, Pope Francis, has an office for synods, in other words, periodic meetings on different topics. So we've had synods over the year on deacons, on priests, on bishops, on the Word of God, on marriage, on youth, so many things. In other words, the bishops come together and really share, you know, this aspect of Christian life in its incarnational side. So what does it mean to be Christian in a family, as a young person, as a, you know, the Word of God, how does the Word of God fit in with our life, et cetera, et cetera. So there's many synods. Surprisingly, this time it was not on a particular aspect, but I would say it was on the entire nature of who we are as a family, mm-hmm. because the church is a family, and we're coming to use that, thank God, that word more and more. It is a family, a broken family at times, a sinful family, but it's a family.
Mm-hmm.
We're not here in opposition to each other, but to build up ourselves as the family of God, Corpus Christi, the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. So it's very special to us. The Holy Father opened the Synod for the Church on Sunday, which a couple of weeks ago, October the 10th, where he proclaimed this beginning process. What's unusual about it is that usually people are named, experts come together, they write a document for people to study, I mean the bishops and other theologians, and to study, and when they come together in 2 years' time, they would look at it. This time he said the church is synodality, and I'll explain the meaning in a moment. So we want everybody to participate, everybody that can participate in some way. So the word synod has a Greek root, but it means journey together. Journey together. I think that's what we need to keep in mind, that our life as Christians, we can look at, is to walk together. I was just the other day sharing with some people, and one of them is leaving the diocese and being transferred. So I said, what is your experience been being here in Corpus Christi these past, I think, 8 years? And it was interesting because it was kind of a stop and a think. And they came out with a beautiful in-depth, you know, not, well, I saw this, I did this, I met this, but no, but it was really, what has God's will been for me during these 8 years? And within a few minutes, just gave a beautiful testimony, a witness of what it meant to be here in a community. And I just looked at her and I said, that's synodality, that we can share with each other our journey in Jesus Christ. Many times faith is seen as a personal, stay out of my life mm-hmm. thing. This is my relationship with God, not yours. Well, I mean, by nature, and I mean God's nature, divine nature, what belongs to the Father belongs to the Son and the Spirit, it's shared. So we are, and it's just something we have to get used to. So just sharing our journey together is what a synod is. So the Pope for this synod, which will be October of 2023, so 2 years from now, is about looking at the nature of the church, the very being of the church. Do we walk alone? Do we walk together? Do we share our life? Do we just live our own life? So it's a very fundamental aspect of Christian life. So the Pope wanted, instead of just doing all these experts coming together in 2 years' time, let's start with everybody, those that want to. So every diocese, so we're going to begin, actually our opening, I'm jumping all around, but our opening is, he opened on the 10th of October. On the 17th, I was not able to be here. Most dioceses are doing that. So on the 24th, so last Sunday, actually, We had an official opening of the synod with the Mass at 9:30 in the cathedral, proclaiming that the synod is open. So what the process is then is, and we're still trying to pull it together, which kind of all this was pulled on us, but to find ways to, in parishes, in deaneries, in convents, in other forums, is to just listen to people. What's your experience of being a Christian, a disciple, a Catholic Christian? What's your experience of that? So it's not about coming and bringing different ideas. This is what I want to see. This is what I'm mad at. But what does it mean to walk for you as a Catholic Christian, as a Christian? Because it also has an ecumenical moment. If we can do that, we can also talk. We want to talk to other people, not just to hear. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ today? And in that way, then we can look at, as time goes on, we can begin, we'll send all of these responses, or we'll summarize them and send them to Rome, so that in 2 years' time, when they look at the synodality, they'll have these responses from all over the world, which may point out that we're weak in this, we're weak in that, we need to work on this. For example, I just pull it out, married life or young people, that's something we're all concerned about. But we try to proclaim the gospel to young people, and they're on a different wavelength. I know they're on a different wavelength for me, not that that's bad, but you know, I see new social media mechanisms. I go, not me, keep me out of there, and they're 2 miles ahead of me. Mm-hmm. So we need to pay attention of how do we relate to one another. So I one thing I want to do is to meet with young people as much as possible to hear what their experience is. Instead of all of us complaining about each other as groups, you know, well, young people don't do this or adults do this. But let's sit down and talk. And we don't have to wait for the bishop to come or for a committee to come to your homes. I'm speaking to everyone listening. And do it yourselves. You know, get your family together and say, obviously we're missing something, if you are, but let's talk about our faith. I know it may be very uncomfortable, but let's do it. Mm-hmm. You know, if your young people are not going to church, then just say, instead of yelling at it, why? You know, how do you experience Jesus? What gives you faith? Where do you find your faith, etc.? And I know that I've already talked to some families, because like I've given the same preparation to my children the same preparation, and yet they're all different in different places. And I looked at them and I said, have you ever asked them what their relationship with Jesus is about or with God the Father? No. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, start there. What is your experience? So synodality is basically three things. It is encounter. So in other words, if it is a family, you have to encounter each other, sit down, not passing in the hallway, mm-hmm. but let's sit down and talk. And if we don't know a person, let's meet them. So it's encountering them, getting to know them. Mm-hmm. And then it's listening. I have kind of begun to use a little phrase, which may be a little strong, but let's bring our guns unloaded.
That's a good phrase.
Because sometimes we come to meetings and we already know what we want and we want to get our point across. And so our guns are loaded. And when we don't get what we want, we just – anyway. So let's leave our guns at home, symbolically, metaphorically.
Right.
But let's come kind of disarmed. Mm-hmm. Some things that an adult may say or a young person may say, it may be hurtful. But let's try our best to just listen attentively without filters. So it's meeting together, it's listening to one another, and then discerning. Because we all come from, just in terms of our faith, from a certain preparation, a certain formation. I know mine goes back to the 50s, from home and then grammar school with the sisters in Houston. And, mm-hmm. and then, but you look at the young people today are formed differently, not only in their homes and in our schools and religious ed programs, but by the world. The world's different. This is something I think we don't appreciate. I mean, in the sense of we don't understand. The world has changed.
A lot.
And they're influenced by so much more than I was or you were.
Mm-hmm.
So if we are encountering each other, point one, if we listen to each other disarmed, then we can also talk and discern. Maybe as a family, what can we do to strengthen our faith life together? But you see, when we're not listening, when we never meet, all we do is judge. And I'm making broad strokes here. I'm not pointing at anyone. But the discernment part, and what is discernment? Discernment is listening to the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit can only be listened to and heard when these other steps are taken, when we encounter each other in peace and in love, when we listen openly and we hear something from each other, then we can discern the voice of God may have been in that. You know, my young brother or my young son may say something and, you know, it may be different, but I go, oh my gosh, that's mm-hmm. the key to us moving ahead together. And so as we go ahead with our parishes and parish meetings, parish councils, finance councils, different groups, if we all enter into this process of synodality, we will discover the Holy Spirit is alive in the church. Jesus said, I will send you the advocate who will remind you and teach you all things.
Mm-hmm.
We're not reminded because we can't listen. We can't learn because we can't discern. So it's really... synodality is walking together, listening to the Holy Spirit, and following Jesus. I mean, that's putting it very, very simply, but very profoundly and very beautifully. So this is the process that we will be starting and working through. And I want to say, I know we have no time left, but this is not changing anything about our teaching, our faith. It doesn't change anything about the structure so much. It's giving life to how we do things, how we listen, how we walk together. It's not about changing doctrines or disciplines at all.
Wonderful. It'll be a very interesting and eye-opening process for the next 2 years.
Yes, and it's what the church wants to do is, listen, this is our life. This is not just mm-hmm. for the next 3 weeks
right.
or 3 months or 6 months. This is what the way we need to learn to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus in this way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bishop. Thank you for clearing that up. We are going to end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Almighty and merciful God, by whose gift your faithful offer you right and praiseworthy service, grant, we pray, that we may hasten without stumbling to receive the things you have promised through Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of the day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. We invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.